Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're doing the chapter on commanding those in authority to be kind to their subjects, to give them good advice, and to be compassionate towards them, and also forbidding those in authority from deceiving those of their subjects, being harsh to them, neglecting their best interests, and being unmindful of them and their needs. What a beautiful chapter, as we explained before. The taking care of everyone's rights, especially those that are seen to be weaker than us, those that are our subjects, those that are below us, it's very easy to overlook their rights. To remember what a very influential, what a very affluent person told us or asked us to do, or what the rights that they have, becomes easy because we want to always fulfill these people, these type of people. But those that are below us, how often do we think that they also got rights? Those employees of ours, those children of ours, the government, the subjects of his. So a person like that at home may have servants that are working. All of them, everyone has got a right. Are we fulfilling their rights or not? Are we thinking of their interests or not? Or is it that we're always just thinking about our interest? So yesterday we explained that there are two things. One is a person's duty and the other is his accountability. A person, to the extent that he knows that there is accountability, to that extent he'll fulfill his responsibility, he'll fulfill his duties. Why? He knows there's accountability. Take out accountability from the equation, then what happens is there's no real need now for me to be responsible. If, for example, I go to work, and I don't have to be accountable to anybody. What work I do, I just do it. There's nobody that's going to ask me what work you did, what you did not do, what time you came, what time you left, what are you doing. If I got, there's absolutely no accountability, then will there be any interest for me to go on time to work? Will there be any interest for me to do any work? Why, there's no accountability to anyone. But the moment you introduce accountability, what time you came to work, what time the person left work, or, for example, what work did he do, was the work done, was the work not done, what was the reason for it not to be done, now automatically what happens? A person learns to be more and more responsible. This we see it all over. A person goes to school late, and they become something known as detention. So now a person has to be careful that I need to be on time. When a person is in school, the teachers are checking to see whether the work is done, work is not done. So now the child knows I have to do my homework. There is such a thing as accountability. So also in deen, there is a beautiful thing as accountability. And a person will be accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala for the subjects that he had. Did he fulfill these rights towards these people? Did he fulfill his duties and his rights? One is the rights of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, one is the rights of the makhluk in general, and one is the rights of those makhluk that are categorized as our subjects. So today's hadith, عن أبي يعلى معقل بن يسار رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من عبد يستريعه الله رعية يموت يوم يموت وهو غاش لرعيته إلا حرم الله عليه الجنة متفق عليه وفي رواية فلم يحطها بنصحة لم يجد رائحة الجنة. حضرت أبو يعلى معقل بن يسار رضي الله عنه narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that no slave is made a shepherd over a flock by Allah Ta'ala, and then he dies whilst deceiving his flock, except that Allah Ta'ala makes Jannah, paradise, prohibited for him. Again, Hazrat Abu Ya'la Maqil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that no slave is made a shepherd over his flock by Allah Ta'ala. In other words, this is the choice that Allah Ta'ala had. Allah Ta'ala made this, made us, every one of us, some type of a shepherd over some type of flock. As we explained, every person is in some type of authority. So no person is made a shepherd over a flock by Allah Ta'ala, and then this person dies. Person who was made the shepherd, this person dies whilst he was deceiving his flock. Allah Ta'ala will make it such that Jannah will be prohibited for him. This person won't go into Jannah. What a serious thing. It may sound like something very trivial. It may sound like something very basic. But a person won't get Jannah. Jannah will be haram for this person. Why? He had this, so to speak, subjects, the subordinates, those people that were below him. But instead of showing them the right path, he just deceived them. He allowed them to think that whatever you're doing is right, never mind. So long as we are happy, so long as we are all smiling, so long as we are good friends, so long as we continue like that, there's no problem. In no time did he ever think of telling them there's something as akhirat, there's something is qabr, there's something is person accounting on the day of Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam. He didn't think about it. Think if you just ponder how many times we got staff working for us, how many times we got employees working for us at home. Did we ever take out some time or make some time so that these people can also be told about Akhirat? These people that are working for us, they also can be encouraged to come to the masjid. They also be told how important Salah is. They also be told how important it is for a Muslim to behave like a Muslim. Basic, simple things. How to make wuzu, how to have ghusl, how to perform Salah. Sometimes we may have staff who may be Muslims by name, but they don't even know the basics of Islam. Did we really take out time to see that we did something for our subordinates, for our subjects, find the pious of the past, that they would make so much a fikr for even the maids that worked in their homes. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, approximately about 12 maids worked in his house during Maulana's lifetime, and every one of them accepted Islam. Every one of them accepted Islam. Now, this is what you call fikr. A pen is not just taking work from the people, deceiving them that everything is okay, you'll just work. But at the same time, dawah is also given to these type of people. And this is what you call a person who's not deceiving his flock, not deceiving his family. All the time he's guiding. And this was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many examples there. Just to give two examples, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with a young boy, eating from one plate. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ya bunayya, sammillah, wa kul bi aminik, wa kul mimma yalik. Oh, my young boy, my young boy in this case, that take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while he's sitting with him, he's not just deceiving him, he's teaching him something. Every occasion to teach a young person, to teach someone, we don't lose it. On the day of Qiyamah, no person can hold us accountable that you all knew the deen, but you didn't pass it on to us, or didn't teach us even these basic things. Basic things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, oh my son, say Bismillah when eating. Kul bi yaminik, eat with your right hand. Kul mimma yalik, eat from the side that is closest to you. Simple things, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching him, and then he remembers it for the rest of his life, and he has taught it to others, therefore we also learned what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it. Such an impact it had on him. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, once I was riding behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like a backseat passenger as we call it in our times, and a young person I was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't waste that opportunity just to continue, let's listen to the news, let's listen to the cricket score, let's see what's happening here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that occasion and that opportunity to teach me something that for the rest of my life I remembered what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me. I just mentioned a few of the words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him. And Nabi alayhi wa sallam told him, "U'allimuka kalimatin," I'll teach you a few words. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Ihfadillaha yahfadka," that you protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will protect you. احفظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكْ, that you protect the command of Allah, you protect the deen of Allah, you'll find Allah Ta'ala's help in front of you. In front of you, you'll find Allah Ta'ala's help waiting for you. All you did was you protected the commands of Allah, you protected the deen of Allah, you found the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, that whenever you ask anybody for anything, ask Allah. Ask Allah. Whenever you're seeking any type of assistance, seek it from Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught him from a young age that this is how a person's iman should be. So I'm just giving you a few examples, not the whole hadith, but just few examples of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam used that opportunity to pass deen. So let us also, we got children in our homes, we got nephews, we got nieces, we got staff, we got people around us that are our subjects, people around us that are our friends. They may not know anything, but slowly, slowly we give them a little bit of dawah, they also will take to deen, they also will take to Islam, and they won't be such a thing that on the day of Qiyamah, they are catching us for deceiving them that everything is okay, and we never told them about Islam. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.